From the Word of God, Luke chapter 23, beginning at verse 26. Now as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon the Cyrenian, who was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of the people followed him, and women also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, Blessed are the barren wombs that have never borne, and breasts which have never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in the greenwood, what will be done in the dry? There were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots. And the people stood looking, but even the rulers with them sneered, saying, He saved others, let him save himself if he's the Christ, the chosen of God. The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. And an inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, If you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation, and we indeed justly? For we receive the due rewards of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. I heard about a man from New Mexico who had been suffering with a continual ringing in his ears, bulging eyes, and a flushed face. He went from one doctor to another seeking help. At the suggestion of one of the doctors, his tonsils were removed. At the suggestion of another doctor, they took out his appendix. Another doctor sent him to Switzerland, where he had a goat gland transplant. Then he went to another doctor who said, You have 6 months to live. And so he quit his job, sold all of his possessions, said he would live as high on the hog as he could for the time he had left, and part of what he did was get himself a whole new wardrobe of clothes. He went to a tailor to have it handmade for him. And he was amazed as the tailor looked at him and took down the measurements and got them within a half a size, within a quarter of an inch, every measurement it took without measuring. And the tailor looked at the man and said, You wear a 16 and a half shirt. And the man said, No, I wear a 14 and a half shirt. The tailor said, No, you take a 16 and a half shirt. It's 16 and a half. And the man said, I've always worn a 14 and a half. The tailor said, Well, you can wear a 14 and a half, but if you do, you're going to have continual ringing in your ears, eyes bulging out, and a flushed face. Well, unless you know the problem, you can't know the answer. And it is about the problem and the answer I want to talk with you today. The problem is how to have a good ending to your life. And that answer we have found at the cross. There's an old saying, all's well that ends well. I remember an evening, a summer evening, when a whole town expressed that sentiment. Rocky Ford was 5 years old. He and his family lived across the alley in a big white house just diagonal from where we lived. Back when I was a boy growing up at 117 Shenandoah Avenue in Laughlin, Maryland. Those were the days when you didn't have 20 cable television channels on a 70-inch TV. You had two channels on a small flickering black and white set. You adjusted the TV channels by turning the antenna. And the only video games you had were be out playing ball and watching the ball come towards you. You could ride all over town. No helmets, no elbow pads, and nobody would grab you. You felt completely safe. And you didn't have a cell phone, but when the street lights came on, you headed back home because that's what your mama told you. When the street lights come on, come home. Well, Mom and Dad and Kyle and I were sitting on the front porch that evening when a neighbor came up through the yard and said, Rocky Ford is missing. We've looked. We can't find him. We want everybody to help look. And so the whole town spread out. We searched the baseball field. We searched down by the railroad tracks, out by the creek. We searched the big field across the road from our house, Simmons's Field. We looked in the pine thicket down the road where the Boy Scouts would later put their headquarters in the town. We checked the playground out at the elementary school just a block down from our house. We looked in basements. We looked in attics. If there was a place to look, we looked. And as the evening grew late and the street lights came on, still we looked and still no Rocky. We looked everywhere except in the kitchen of his house under the table. He crawled up on the chair. The tablecloth hung almost to the floor, and he went to sleep. And finally he heard noise. It was his mama crying. And he crawled out from under the table, wanted to know what the noise was all about that woke him up. And his mama grabbed him and hugged him and crying now with joy and not with sorrow because her little boy had been found. All's well that ends well. One more story. Helen Hayes, born in 1900, died in 1993, was given the title, earned the title of the First Lady of American Theater. At age 5, she was already on Broadway, appearing in 2 plays. And during her career, she appeared in more than 100 plays, in 24 movies. She's only one of 12 people to have won Academy Awards for television, an Emmy for television, a Grammy for recordings, an Oscar for the movies, and a Tony for the theater. Her son, James MacArthur, you know from the original Hawaii Five-O, from the best Hawaii Five-O. He was Dano, who was always told to book him. Well, in her early 20s, she married Charles MacArthur, who was a playwright. And she said, he knows me so well that he has written a movie script just for me. And MacArthur got Irving Thalberg, who was one of the kingpins in Hollywood back in those days, to do a movie with Helen Hayes based on that script. The movie was called The Sins of Madeline Clawday. It was finished. A review was rushed out into the suburbs. And after the people got their first glimpse of the picture, they said it's a disaster. They concluded it was a complete disaster. And Louis B. Mayer, who was one of the founders of MGM, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, called Helen Hayes in and said, and I guess this was his way of letting her down gently, said, "I'm sure you're a fine actress on the stage, but you don't know how to act on the silver screen." And the film was placed on the shelf with the direction never to be released. Well, Irving Thalberg was out of town. When he got back, he wanted to see all the movies that had been produced while he was out. And there were quite a number of them, and he watched them all, and there was one they didn't show him, and they said, "You don't want to see The Sin of Madeleine Claudet. It's a horrible, horrible movie." He said, "No, I want to watch it." And they screened it for him, and he said, "There's nothing wrong with that movie, but the ending will shoot a new ending." Now, it's 1932, and it's the first year for Academy Awards. You're ahead of me now. The best motion picture was Grand Hotel. The award for best actor was Frederick March for his performance in Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And the young actress, whom Louis B. Mayer said can't act on screen, won the Best Actress Award for The Sin of Madeleine Claudet. The difference? A new ending. Now we turn to our text for this morning. We don't know whether the man was on the left or the right. We don't even know his name. But would you believe there was a day when somebody was glad to see him born? There were two people who rejoiced at this young fellow. And he actually mattered in at least two lives. But along the way, he gets caught up in a revolutionary movement, an insurrection against Rome, and there's a charismatic leader named Barabbas who talks a good game. And originally, everything was about throwing off the yoke of Rome. But little by little, it becomes more than that. It becomes simple greed, simple vengeance, the simple desire to have what belongs to somebody else. In a time, he ends up not only a robber, but a murderer. And in 2023, he would be linked with the thugs of Hamas and Hezbollah and called a terrorist. There were two that had been sentenced to crucifixion along with Barabbas. But Barabbas had been released by public demand. It was an annual gift from the Roman government. And now in the agony of crucifixion, he spat, he cursed, he felt great anguish, and more than once, he joined with his buddy looking at the man in the middle saying, "If you're the Christ, come down off this cross and rescue us as well." But then he noticed something. The man in the center, Jesus, never complained. He kept his mouth shut as though he were a lamb. A lamb led to the slaughter opens not his mouth. And he offered no resistance. And then he hears a sound from the middle. Jesus is praying, "Father, forgive them. I don't know what they're doing." And unlike the way we read it in our English Bibles, Jesus said it over and over again. "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." And at this most unlikely moment, over the head of Jesus is a sign that says, "King of the Jews," written in the three languages of the day. And with the king being crucified and no kingdom in sight, this man says, "We deserve to be here. This is the logical end of our lives, but Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And unlike the way we read it in our English Bibles, he said it over and over again. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Finally, Jesus turned to him and said, today, this day, you will be with me in my kingdom. Can you imagine getting to this point in life and then having a new beginning and a brand new ending? If you're going to name people for the Hall of Faith in the Bible, you need to put this man near the top, because as I said, the king is dying. There's no kingdom in sight. Nothing to indicate there's a kingdom that will come. But he believed that Jesus had the authority to admit him into his kingdom today. Now that's what you call faith. And with just a different ending, a complete failure was a magnificent success. The prodigal son. What would you expect the end of the prodigal son to be if you've not read the end in Scripture? You would expect that he would die of famine or disease in the far country, unfriended, unborn, unknown. But with just a different ending, he's welcomed home. He's kissed. He's made a member of the family once again, and a success. King David, he'd been God's man. He committed both adultery and murder, and with the murder of Uriah, he caused the death of his son. The logical end, despair, depression for the rest of his life, but with a different ending. He returned to his duties as king. He ruled with wisdom. He ruled with faithfulness. And the book of Acts tells us why. He was permitted by faith to see the resurrection of Jesus. The woman at the well. Go call your husband. I don't have a husband. You're right. You've had five husbands and you're living with a man now without benefit of marriage. But with a new ending. She goes back into town, preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they all come out to see this man who's touched her. Mary Magdalene, out of whom was cast seven spirits, seven evil spirits, becomes a follower of Jesus. A new ending. Zacchaeus, the tax collector, the crook. You didn't get the job of chief tax collector without being a crook. You were assigned an amount by Rome to collect, and whatever you got above that was your profit. But he scrambles down out of the tree when Jesus says, I'm coming home to eat at your house today. And says, if I've defrauded anybody, I'm going to give back over and over what I've taken. A different ending. And as a little child, when I would go to bed and Dad would tell a bedtime story, if the story didn't end with, and they lived happily ever after, I would say, Dad, that's not a good ending. And he'd think for a moment and rephrase the ending so that they all lived happily ever after, forever and ever. And that's the way that Jesus wants it to be. That's what happened when we gave our lives to Jesus, who is in charge of new endings. All's well that will end well because of Jesus. Amen.